As Paul writes to the believers in this chapter, he does so to encourage them. The church was made up of imperfect people, people who were saved from all different types of backgrounds, but people who were saved by the grace of God. They were sinners who were brought under conviction and transformed by the power of the gospel. We learn there, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verses 9 to 10. It says this here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And this was this band of people, people who were brought together by the power of the God. "But such were some of you, but ye are washed." And Paul writes to these believers to show them the grace of God in their life. For at times the devil, the world, and the flesh often call, and it brings us at times into despair. But Paul writes to them and instructs them of the wonderful change that Jesus Christ has wrought in their heart. For he says unto them in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And that word "hold," it's behold, it's in the imperative. Paul simply writing to them, showing them the life that they once lived. And then Paul says, "Behold, look what the Lord has done in your life. Although you were extortioners, you were drunkards, you had all those different lists of sin, but it does not matter. For behold, look at that wonderful change that Jesus Christ has done in your life. You are a new creature. What a wonderful change that Christ has wrought in our heart. And men and women here tonight, you who are saved by the power of God, no doubt as you testify of your life, of when you got saved, you can maybe testify of some sin in your life, whether you were a drug addict, whether you were an alcoholic, whether you were just a self-righteous person, but it does not matter. I say unto you, for Paul has written, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That whenever the world, the devil calls, whenever Satan accuses you before the throne of grace and says to the Father, "Look at that one again, that son, that daughter, that sinned again, cast them off, forsake them, throw them away, they are no good." Yet Satan is rebuked at the throne of God, and the Lord says, "He is a brand plucked out of the fire." And hallelujah, that does us great to know that we are kept by the power of God on the salvation, not saved by anything in us, not by any good works that we could have done, but we are saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want you to be encouraged this night, for Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I want to talk to you tonight about a new creature in Christ. Notice, first of all, there is the position of the new creature. For this position, Paul writes, if any man be in Christ. And those words are loved by Paul. If you read his epistles, you will read words of in Christ, in whom, all those great terms. And they simply signify union in the Lord Jesus Christ, one united to the Savior. And when Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, that straightaway takes our minds to a time when they were outside of Christ, when we were lost, when we were in our sin. For it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, that Paul writes to them, to these believers, to show what they were before, that they were at a time without Christ, having no hope and without God. Just think of those words. Without Christ, having no hope, without God. And sinner tonight, that is your standing right now. If you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not a child of God, you are without Jesus Christ. You have no hope. You are without God. For the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Paul writes to the believers at Ephesus and says to them about the darkness that has covered and blinded the minds of them which believe not. And I say unto you, that word covered, it simply means that there is a veil over their eyes, that they are blind to the things of God. They cannot see the Lord in all the Scripture. Whenever you come to God's Word, and God's Word is preached to you, you do not see the beauty of the Lord. Why? Because you are a child of wrath, even as others. You are blinded in your sin. But only Jesus Christ can remove that veil by the power of the gospel. There are three states a person may find themselves. There is a state of guilt, and that is a state without Christ. Man's natural state. He is born a fallen creature, stranger to God's grace, stranger to the Lord Himself. And that's you tonight. Oh, you may have heard preaching before. You may have people in your family that are Christians. You may have gospel literature in your house, but that does not make you a Christian. You may have people come to you every day, and you know they pray for you. You may come to God's house tonight and sit faithfully and listen to God's word, but that does not make you a Christian. You are still lost. You're still in your sin. You're still in that guilt of Adam's fallen sin. There's also the state of grace, where Paul says, in Christ. That's where we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been brought out of darkness into light. Those who have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. And my friend, tonight I say to you, there only ever is two ways. You're either saved or you are lost. You're either heading for heaven or you're heading for a lost eternity. You're either in your sin or else you're enjoying the forgiveness of sin. It was said in the Titanic, and you may know the story of the Titanic well. Whenever that ship sank and they went out to rescue people and they brought people back, they had on the board behind drawn in a divided line, and it said saved, lost, and they started to put the total in. And that's still the same today, for in this gathering there are two groups of people. You are either saved by God's grace or you are lost in your sin. There is that state also of glory, where we, one day the Christian will be with Christ. And what a day that will be when our Savior we shall see. But Paul goes on, and Paul writes here, if any man be in Christ. And we said this word is a great word that's used by Paul. If you read his epistles, you will see how this word is used. It is used in Romans and it is used in Corinthians, where Paul explains union in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word is used many times to explain the branch and the vine, for marriage and so many other ways. But Paul writes and compares two people in Scripture. Adam, who is the federal head under the covenant of works, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the federal head in the covenant of grace. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, Paul writes these words, in Adam, all die. In Adam, all die. So in Christ, all shall be made alive. In Adam, all die. Adam was the first man. And God entered into that covenant with Adam. Adam represented all humanity. And that simply means that whenever Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, the command for Adam was to love God with all his heart. He was to have no other gods before him. And he was commanded not to eat off the forbidden fruit off the tree. And God told him, the day whereof thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. For death would be the penalty of breaking God's law. And because Adam was a federal head, because Adam was the representative of all humanity, he represented all creation. That in a sense, when Adam succeeded and obeyed, he would have had a reward of eternal life. And that reward would have passed upon all his people. But if Adam disobeyed, sin and death came into the world. And we know that Romans tells us, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means by nature, you are born a child of wrath. By nature, you are a breaker of God's law. For sin is a transgression of the law. We fail and we sinned in Adam. But we learn also in Corinthians, Paul writes, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to be the Savior. He came to undo all that Adam did. Adam disobeyed. Christ came to obey. Through Adam brought death and sin into the world. Christ came for victory. Christ came to give eternal life. And Christ came to obey the law of God. He paid the penalty. And the penalty for the broken law was death. And Christ came to the cross at Calvary. And he paid that debt with his own precious blood. There on the cross he shed for hell guilty deserving sinners. If God was to pass by and to leave me and to leave you in our sin, he would have had every right to do it. But he chose to save sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And I say to you tonight, are you lost in your sin? Have you still got the weight of sin upon you? Or are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? In Adam, our old standing is distance from God, separated from God, cast out of God's presence. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. We have peace. We have been brought back into fellowship with God through Christ. What is your position here tonight? Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you in Christ tonight? Is he your Savior tonight? Is he your Redeemer tonight? Oh, I say to you, if he's not, you can come to the Savior tonight and he will save you. Notice secondly, there is the character of the new creature in Christ. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And these words are very, very powerful because they're words that describe the work of God in the soul of man. Notice the words there. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the word new, it simply means uncorrupted. That which is fresh, unused, simply used to describe in Revelation 5 verse 9 about they sing a new song, a new heavens and a new earth. The word creature simply means creation. And you may hear people in prayer meetings and you may hear people talking and they'll pray out in a prayer meeting, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And that's perfectly fine, because that's what the word simply means. If any man be in Christ, He is a new creation, a brand new creation, a fresh creation. And it simply refers to that work of God in the soul, that work that man cannot do anything, that work that man is passive, that work that man cannot save himself. For salvation is of the Lord. We learn in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And this is very important, for whenever a sinner comes to Jesus Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. He is not dressed up to be better. He is not changed outwardly. He is not covered over with some cloak to try and to look better as he goes back out. No, he is a new creature, for God has shined in his heart and brought him out of his darkness into his marvelous light. The power of the gospel has given that sinner a new hope, a new home, a new desire to serve God. Think about that there. You have a new home if you are in Christ. You have a home of heaven because he has gone to prepare a place for you. And because your union in Jesus Christ, because he is alive, because he is in heaven, you are as good as in heaven as right now. Because when you leave this scene of time, you'll go straight to glory because you are in Christ. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn there, compares this work of the new creature. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and Paul compares the work of creation to the work of creation in the soul. It says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that there is creation, original creation. Whenever God spoke this world into existence, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And then Paul goes on then to explain the spiritual creation in the soul, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And here it is here, that whenever God came and spoke this world into this existence, he spoke it with the power of his voice. And whenever God comes today to speak to your heart, sinner, he does so with the power of his voice. For he speaks with that voice that wakes the dead. He shines the rays of heaven into your soul and brings you from darkness into light. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, said this here, God put more power into the new creation than the creation of the world, because the first creation cost God nothing, but the second creation cost God everything. In the first creation, God gave up nothing. He simply spoke the word. In the second creation, the new creation, God gave up his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior of sinners. That on the cross, he bore all our sins in his own body on the tree. He came to do the will of God. He came to give his life an atoning death. Oh, have we not sung about it tonight? Have you read the story of the cross where Jesus bled and died? Have you ever thanked him and said, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for going to the cross for my sin. Sinner, tonight, what about you? We've learned about this work of God in the soul. This work that only God can do. I cannot save you. The church cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. You are in your sin, lost, lost, lost. And only Jesus Christ, by the power of God, can save your soul, cancel your soul out, or your sin away. But you must come and put your trust in the Savior of sinners. Notice thirdly, there is the proof of the new creature in Christ. For the word says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we must remember, who is writing this, who is presenting this message. It is the Apostle Paul. And if anyone can say to these believers, behold what he has done for you, look what he has done for me. I was the chief of sinners. I persecuted the church. I was a blasphemer. I held men and women into prison. I caused them to blaspheme. I made sure Stephen was put to death. Oh, I've done wicked things. I persecuted Christ. I had somewhat against him. I've done so many horrible things. But he saved me. For Paul says that the scripture says that he is a chosen vessel. Paul makes many times that the Lord had gloriously saved him and put him into the ministry. Oh, such a man like Paul, such a man of Paul's background. And Paul is able to say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That whenever you stand before God, you when you get saved and you stand before God, he no longer sees your sin, but he sees the blood of Christ that was shed for you. And he says, they are mine, that you have a covering for sin. What a great joy to know that sin is forgiven. We learn there, don't we, about Adam and Eve, that whenever they had sinned, whenever they had rebelled against God, and they broke God's law, we learn there that whenever they sinned, the Bible says in Genesis that they got the fig leaves and they tried to cover themselves. They tried to hide their own sin. But the Lord came to them and made a covering for them. He had a way. It was the shedding of the blood. It was the precious blood that was to be shed. Why? Because man cannot cover his own sin. Man cannot save himself. Man cannot put away his sin. Only Jesus Christ can. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. What a wonderful change in my life. Oh, the heart that was once deceitful. Oh, that heart that was against God has now become a heart that loves God. Oh, the world that I enjoyed the pleasures in has now become a crucified thing. Oh, the sins that I once to commit, I now hate them. The society that I used to hang about with, the people that I used to go and mock God with, I don't hang about with them anymore. Oh, the vocabulary that I used to say, oh, those swear words, those horrible things. My vocab has now been changed with words of grace, seasoned with salt. Paul says, those old things, they are passed away. And that word passed away simply means a complete action. Passed away. Spurgeon likened it to the snow. I don't know if you like snow or not. I like the old snow. But Spurgeon liked it to snow. And he said, when the snow falls, you look out and you see a big white blanket. And then after, the sun will come and the sun will shine on that snow. And that snow will pass away. And that's what the work that Paul's describing here. It's a work that passes away. Isaiah says that he has blotted out our transgressions. He has cast them all behind our back. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. David could say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, all things, they have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. The word become, it means to come into existence. Oh, the Bible, it's now the Word of God to us. It always was the Word of God. But before, it was just a book that we didn't want to read. Coming to God's house was a place we didn't want to go. Even the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was simply just a swear word. Oh, but now it's the name I love to sing. Oh, there is no name as the name of Jesus. How sweet the name. His name is above every other name. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Such is the change that Jesus Christ has wrought in my heart, that I love the Savior. I want to please the Savior. I want to live for the Savior. Paul says this here. This is not an imagination. This is not something that could happen. Paul's saying, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. It's the work of God. Have you experienced that work of God in your soul? Notice what Paul says there in verse 16. Paul says of how he used to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And Paul says there, in our life of rebellion, when I was not saved, when I didn't belong to the Savior, I judged him after the flesh. His name was a name that I blasphemed. Oh, unholy thoughts against the Lord. But now he has done that work in my soul. I judge him no more after the flesh. Why? Because I am a new creature in Christ. He has saved me, blotted out my transgressions. As the old hymn said, the old account was settled long ago. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I may not be all that I should be, but hallelujah, I am not what I used to be. And you can say that, I'm sure, about your life. As you look back on the day that God saved you, you can say the same thing. I may not be all that I should be, but hallelujah, I am not what I used to be. I am not where I used to be. I'm not saying what I used to say. Why? Because he has made me a new creature in him. I wonder, tonight, are you a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have these desires to follow the Savior? I close with this here. We've looked at the position of the new creature. He is in Christ. The character of the new creature in Christ. He is a new creation. The proof. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I close with this. The presentation to be a new creature in Christ. Paul says, if any man, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I say to you tonight, here is the gospel call to you. Turn from your wicked ways and repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As Christ is presented to you in the gospel, what will you do with Jesus? Sinner, tonight, you must embrace Jesus Christ. You must flee from the wrath to come. He is presented to you tonight as the Lamb slain for sinners. The one who went to the cross. We've read on those words there that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What about you tonight? Will you leave this place tonight accepting Jesus Christ? Or will you leave this night knowing that you're still lost in your sin? For Genesis says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That means my spirit shall not always wrestle with man. There'll be a time God will stop speaking. But tonight, he has been merciful to you. Tonight, he has spurred you to hear the gospel message again. We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not what will happen tomorrow. We've seen in recent days over the news of families being brought into turmoil, children and others maybe going for a night out and then being cast into eternity. What about you tonight? Are you prepared to meet your God? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You can be that new creature tonight. You can leave here knowing what a wonderful change Jesus Christ did in my heart. If I can be any help to you tonight, someone you've come with, someone you know, please don't leave here until you've spoke to one of us. But you may ask, Peter, how do I get saved? Simply admit you're a sinner. You can even do it right now. You can do it through the hymn singing. You just admit, Lord, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness of my sin. Save me. And if you pray that prayer, Jesus Christ will save you, and you'll be a child of his. Let's just unite our hearts together as we close our meeting. We'll not sing our hymn. I know other things are happening after the service, but we'll close tonight just in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word. And Lord, we praise thee that the gospel changes lives, brings sinners out of darkness into light. Father, we thank thee for the hope tonight that sinners have in Christ. He is the sinner's refuge. And O God, we pray, open up the blinded eyes. Lord, we thank thee for ever saving us. Lord, we confess there was nothing good in us, nothing good in me. But Lord, I thank thee that thou didst save me. Father, we pray tonight, save a precious soul, we asked of thee. In Jesus' name, amen.